And so we need to, in this season, really be paying attention to the Spirit of God. And when we see things like that, to hold them lightly before God and weigh them with what else we're hearing, right? So that there's no, we want to run off with this one or run off with that one. And then the spirit of the age would have us take one side and hate anybody that does the other side, right? And so he's bringing division even within the body of Christ. And that's so opposite of what Jesus would have us do in this season. So pay attention, but pay attention more to his voice. What is he saying in what you're hearing? Don't move in judgment against your brothers and sisters. God may be moving in judgment in some ways. And he was talking particularly about California and what's going to be happening there. But don't us judge our brothers and sisters in all of this, because it's so easy to do. It's easy to do, I'll tell you, even from who's meeting in live audiences, live congregations in church, and who is not meeting live, but they're doing the live stream. You know, there is a contention building in that, and I think it's wrong. We all have to follow what God is telling us, and each pastor is in his position because he cares for sheep. He cares for his congregation, and he wants to do the right thing before God. And so if he's meeting, bless him. If they're doing the live stream, bless him. Bless those churches. Let's be together in this, because there's enough contention and, as Pastor Ted said, chaos out there, crisis out there, that we should just follow our Lord, right? Uh-oh, silent in here. So they're after me. God is so faithful. Did you want to add anything to that, Bruce?
I would say, he said, in California right now, you see convoys of people leaving. On the other side, you see people going and having...
Would you use this so it can go over the air, too?
Thanks. In California right now, there's caravans of people leaving. That's the judgment they're hearing get out of California. The other side, you see people from closed churches having revival services on the beach. And people are coming and getting baptized and getting saved and getting healed, and it's spreading. So on the one hand, we have warning, it's time to maybe leave. On the other hand, for some, God is saying, get up and worship and call the dead to arise.
Mm. Well done. Thanks, Bruce. If you want to listen to that, Bruce can arrange for you to get a copy of it, like over your computers or over the internet. It's funny because Mario Murillo had a really good interview on the internet this week, so you might want to listen to that too. Pastor Christine sent that to me. I'm going to be reading this morning from Philippians 1, starting in verse 21. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Your salvation is from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Now, I had that scratched out of my Bible. I don't know whether you did or not. I suffer for his sake. I didn't sign up for that. He's told me I did sign up for that. I have been trying to avoid that as much as I can, and yet here we are suffering for Christ and for his purposes. You know, when you came onto Christ's team, your day of salvation, by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you signed your name to a blank sheet of paper, and you said, "Lord, you fill it in." And I think in the small print is something about suffering. I didn't read it again. It's in a 0.2 font. But it's there. It's there for all of us. And so what do we do in all of that? The Apostle Paul wasn't afraid of death and shows us how God is doing. It's God's doing, bringing us to new life during times of sacrifice and of suffering. There's something about endings that can deepen our faith and focus us. I read a story about a family that was beside their dad, and they couldn't get his blood type right, and he died. And the son said, he kept saying, "Be positive." But how can we be positive when he's dying? It's a blood joke, you know, be positive. Okay. Where's Malachi? I can have a rim shot there. Do you ever think, what a really great book? I love that book so much that I wish it never ended. Or watch a movie and say the same kind of thing. You ever get into that kind of... But there's something about endings that make things happen. I was looking at endings, you know, reading these scriptures, and Paul was looking at a potential end to his ministry and to his life. Just before I talk about that, did you hear that prophetic song this morning about your ministry, what you've been called to? God's calling us to move into those things that we're called to. The prophetic song was, "It's time for you." It wasn't just singing to Pastor Chris. Singing to all of us. God was singing to us. It's time. It's time. Do we hear him? It's not an entertainment. It's the voice of our loving Heavenly Father. So, looking at endings, there was a study of 3,000 soccer games. And 23% of the goals in those soccer games came within the final 15 minutes. The end of the game has a focusing effect, motivating players to summon their strength for a final push. In a similar fashion, deadlines inspire deal-making. Analysis of bargaining experiences found that 41% of deals are struck in the last 30 seconds of a meeting. 41%. That's amazing. Endings are important. Real life is not like the context that's pitted two pen and ink artists. So two pen and ink artists are at odds. They're facing one another. And did you hear about it? It ended in a draw. Thank you. I got to get better material. There's a quote that I use regularly, and I like it. When a man knows he is to be hanged in a fortnight, it concentrates his mind wonderfully. As you're preparing for... That's not supposed to be funny. That was serious. There's something about an end that helps you to get things in focus. It's not business as usual. It's not just surviving. You're going to meet an end. Pastor Ron was out visiting somebody this week, and his report back about that visit was that it seems like that family is just surviving this time. They're just getting through. You know, there's no victory, there's no hope. It's just this is the time, and they're moving through it. Well, if this is end times, God is going to be focusing our minds, I believe. If you're close to Him in this time, you're gonna have a kind of an unction in wanting to be about the things that He's called you to. That may be as simple as talking to your neighbor, just telling them about who Jesus is. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It may be being kind to your neighbor, because that's one of the purposes of our lives. Pastor Bob was the overseer for a memorial we had yesterday for Ron Schimpf. He used to sit right here, and he's graduated. He doesn't have any cares in the world anymore. His cares are with the Lord. Brother Bob did a great job putting that all together. We heard Cheryl and Sharon and Bonnie sing. We got to get them. We got to get them up here some morning. That'd be very good. But in that time, we were hearing about his life, Ron's life, and he didn't have a very good life as far as he was concerned. His testimony was not a strong one for the Lord. But the last bit of his life was focused. He was told that he had 6 months to live, and he lived well over 2 years past that. But he lived those 6 months, and the subsequent 6 months, and the subsequent 6 months, as if it was his last. And he was telling people about Jesus, getting his family together, staying focused on what was important in his life. He had a purpose to tell people about Jesus. And he got on with it. It's not the way he spent most of his 82 years. 80 years, I guess, he spent doing other things. But he had this opportunity to be focused. And God's giving us an opportunity right now to be focused. You are in your eternity. You are an eternal creature right now. You will not see death. As Pastor Christine keeps reminding me, this body bag, this temple of the Holy Spirit that I'm carrying around, will end. It will see death, but I won't. A big John Hall song that I love so much is, when they lower these bones down in the ground, I'll be living on the other side. I'm not going to be lowered into the ground. How can we focus? What can we do? Well, Paul is looking at some of that stuff. As we get closer to death, we somehow get to be more positive. That's the general move toward of people is to be more positive. And we, when we're in the midst of it, we don't want it to end. But the truth of the matter is we were made for an ending. Everything has to end. Everything in this life, everything you see will come to an end. Eternity will not. But we haven't seen that yet. We will all come to an end. And an ending is important. We all look for an ending. We need for it to end. In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul offers a surprising perspective on the end of his earthly life. He says, here it is, "For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." He knows full well that if he is to live, he will offer his services to the church. He will be busy about the things of the church and doing the things that God has called him to do. For me, living is Christ. But the best of all for him is to die. Dying is gain. Because then he gets to be with Jesus. He's at rest from this earthly toil. Paul, of all people that we see in the Word, suffered regularly for the gospel. I mean, you remember the stories. He was stoned. I think he was stoned to death, and that he may have had his heavenly encounter at that time. Taken up, I know a man who was taken up to the third heaven. So when he may have laid dead underneath that pile of stones, and learned all of those things, and then was resurrected by the Lord. He was shipwrecked, and he's in the midst of people that are dying all the time. He's in chains. This guy suffered at the hands of the people that he served all his life. Suffered. And yet to him, he's ready to do either one. To live is Christ, to die is gain. He stayed focused all the time, and he invited us to do the same thing. Paul's not being misunderstood. But he's being understood completely by the Philippians. Paul and the Christians of Philippi, he said, "I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and for joy in faith." what he writes, and so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. That's verse 25 and 26. If Paul is allowed to live, he wants to be useful to the churches in their work of spreading the good news of Jesus. An impending death allows us to be creative in our thoughts. Our energies don't need to be kept on just getting through this thing, like the fellow that Brother Ron was talking to. It's not just getting through. We're not just living this life. It's not about surviving until everything returns to normal. It's about taking the initiative right now, because the end could be upon us very quickly. Will we hear that from our Jesus? I was looking up endings of things, and I looked up a church that's in Virginia, a church that had lots of happenings over the years. It was a lively, thriving church, but coming into the 2010 time frame, they had dwindled to just a few senior citizens that were the only attenders of the church. And so they, what are we going to do with this thing? It was a $10 million property in Virginia, not far from where the Pentagon is. But they got together and they felt that they heard from God that they were to give the property to a local mission. It was a mission to the underhoused, the homeless. Got to watch how we say things these days. And they agreed that they would take the church building down and build a six-story low-cost housing property. And in the first floor, they would have retail space and some place for dentists and doctors and things like that to serve the community and to serve the people that were in the low-cost housing area. But also, the church was able to rent a space in this building for free until they were done with it. So they were able to focus. They were ineffective as a church for anything but meeting together on a Sunday. They had lost all of the initiative to go out and share the gospel or anything like that, but they had this residual wonder that God had given them. And the opportunity to look at an ending for them was that they would go out with a bang and they would affect the community. So what happened out of that? More than 400 people moved into the building, and many of them started to attend the services of the church. So the church began to thrive again. They weren't going to die at all. The reports of my death are premature. The way God can work through somebody who's willing to give, willing to do the things that he wants us to do. What's he asking you to give? For sure he's asking you to give of your time. Don't spend it all on you. There are others that can use that time. Are there resources that he's trusted to you? How much of that are you going to take with you? No U-Hauls in heaven. The street is made of gold. So all of our stuff is worth nothing. What is it that he's asking us, each of us, to be about in this season? Is it about just us and surviving, as Pastor Ron was told this week? Or is it about taking the initiative to be about the business of God? Because you will not outgive Him. His promise is, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it shall be poured back unto your bosom. Like, you won't be able to handle it all if you honor Him and give the way He's wanting you to. So I'm going to take another offering. You notice how nervous that laughter was? God has something more, something that you are going to be just so blessed with. Is it sharing the gospel with people? Coming out and giving away tracts and telling them your story like Brother Steve Brown does. You don't have to rhyme your story like he does or have really old jokes to go along with it. But he's faithful in what he's been called to do. He's about the business of God. He is focused in this time on something other than himself. You look at the spirit that's over our land, and it's very much involved with me, self-ease, and spending mammon on me. Spending money on me and my pursuits. And if we can hear Him in it, like, are you really happy doing that? I didn't hear one amen. The thing is, the money and the pursuit of money and the pursuit of goods and the pursuit of me is never going to satisfy. Because it's opposite of what we were made for. And in this season, I think we are being challenged with an ending. So with a hanging in a fortnight before us, our minds can become wonderfully crystallized, razor focused on what God has called us to do. Paul was focused on what God had called him to do. So much so that he was assured that because of his testimony of being put in there, into prison, and that the guards were sharing the story, and the people that saw him were sharing the story, he was sure that all of Rome knew about Jesus Christ and the story that Paul was sharing with others. And he was just going about doing his business. I mean, how effective can you be in a one-room cell that you may have to share a wall with many others? Paul was assured that God would multiply what he was giving. His suffering would not be in vain. He was willing to go through anything to achieve the wonder of the gospel. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you say that? I mean, I'm not asking you to repeat after me. But can we say that with our hearts? We talked last week about the reality of heaven and hell. And hell is a very real place. I'm not going to try and shame you into to sharing the gospel, but your neighbors are going to a very real, eternal, ugly place unless they know the gospel, unless they know what you know and what you have received. Unless they hear, they will not know. Now, there's lots of manipulative stuff that I could share, you know, but just let the Holy Spirit move on your heart right now. And how is it about his business and not my business. We have a choice in this season. A season of chaos is a time to move ahead, not a time to just survive. It's not a time to just get through. Hang on and we'll get through this. It's a time to move ahead, because that's where faith comes in. That's what it's all about for all of us. Will we move ahead in this season? Will we do the things that he's called us to do? It's about our relationship with the friend that we have in Jesus, the friend that we have in the Holy Spirit. Our brother Ron Schimpf, for the last 2 years of his life, did the very best he could to share the wonder of who Jesus was. He was focused. Will we be focused in this time? Will we move ahead with Jesus in this time? You will be richer and more grateful if you just listen and obey in this time. It will not dissatisfy. It will challenge you. It will make you uncomfortable. For why on earth would you need a comforter in the Holy Spirit if you were not going to be uncomfortable? So you will be uncomfortable. You will experience wind and waves, but imagine the wonder in those disciples as they experienced the wind and waves. They saw their death before them. Oh, Jesus, wake up, we're going to die. And then they get to the other side. They would have enjoyed their life on the other side a whole bunch. I bet the breakfast that day tasted excellent. They didn't have bacon, so they don't know what an excellent breakfast is, but they were good kosher boys. Yeah, probably fish, you know. But we have an opportunity right now. It's not an opportunity to sit idly by, but it's an opportunity to hear our big brother Paul. Is it going to be to live is Christ for me? To live is Christ. To die is gain. Think about that another day. To live is Christ. Yes. To live is Christ. Yes. To live is Christ. Hallelujah. That's where we are going to be. Living in Christ. Moving ahead in what he's called us to. Would you stand with me and we're gonna pray? If you have anything you want to pray about, there'll be people at the altar. We'll pray with you. If you have prayer needs on Facebook, just type it into the message there, and we'll have people pray for you too. There are so many things that we need prayer for these days. We need to hear one another and pray for one another in this time. Ron? Oh, you? Okay. I'll pray in a minute. Ron has something here. This is good Pastor Ron who...
Praise God. For each one of us, you know, as we're just sort of looking at our own hearts and asking, you know, where's my relationship with God? Can I say that I know that God loves me?
Oh, very good.
That I know that God loves me. And I know that a lot of us can, but sometimes I hear, but, I know God loves me, but. And then there's the whys, the buts and the whys. Sorry. I believe that in being able to walk in what Pastor Randy's saying and to step out in what we know God is saying to us, for me, I've found the more that I really believe that God loves me, it frees me up. It causes me to want to get a hold of his heart. When we sang the song, Draw Me Close to You, we were singing it, and then I heard God singing that to me. And I thought, well, like, we're here to worship God. But if you read the words for it, and just sort of, like, this is God saying this to us. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. And he says here, cause nothing else can take your place, because nothing else can take your place. And we're singing that to God, right? But receive that from his heart. Nothing else can take your place, your place, your place. That's how special we are in the heart of God. You're all I've ever wanted. Like, you're all I've ever needed. We know that God's not in need, but in a sense he is, because the need in his heart, what he wants, is to see everyone come to the cross, come to him. So this is God's heart to us too. So I believe that in what I'm hearing today is God wants us to know more of his Father's heart. And yeah, we've all been walking through healing and we've been dealing with things, but the more that we hear the heart of our Father, and he says, I love you incredibly. I love you. And as we receive that, we're going to be able to walk in what Pastor Randy's talking about. Praise God.
That's very good, Ron. Thank you. Very good. I love that. Well, Lord, you are our friend. Thank you, Lord. I was about to pray, but I just saw in my mind a picture of a guy named Ern Baxter. He was a pastor, a teacher in the kingdom, and I remember a sermon he spoke to us one time, and he said, God is good, but don't forget the other side to that coin. God is severe. He's good, and yet he's severe. He is love, and yet he is full justice. He's the only one that can do that well. And the word about from Jeremiah Johnson that David Wilkerson anointing and the Bill Johnson anointing are out there, and we need to listen to them to remember that God is good and yet God is severe. We fail to sing sometimes. God is severe. God is severe. God is so good. But he is severe. And so what may be happening in the next while may stretch us somewhat, but we're mature enough to handle it, right? So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Haven't thought of Ern Baxter for a long time, Lord. Thank you for him. Thank you that he's with you. I bless you for him. Lord, we know that you are a God of justice. Just all the time. We know that you are love. And you, Lord, are able to keep that in balance and not sway one side to the other,
but to stay in that place all the time. Help us to be mature and wise enough to recognize your voice when we hear prophetic utterance, when we see things happening in the world. Let us look to you first. Let our first cry from our mouths be, "Oh Jesus," and not, "Oh no." Thank you, Lord, that you are good all the time. Help us to see these days through those eyes. Give us the eyes to see your movements throughout the earth, your love being expressed through the earth. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Now, each of us, Lord, has a calling. Each of us has been given a stewardship gift of certain goods and monies and times and abilities. Help us in these days to focus on using those for you. Help us to be about the business of the kingdom and of the Prince of Peace. Thank you, Lord, that we can do the things that you've called us to do because you strengthen us. I bless you for each one of these delightful people. Thank you that you love them so much. Let them, as Pastor Ron was encouraging us, let them know how much they are loved, how much we are loved, Lord. Because when we know that, we don't move out of our insecurities. We don't react to things, we respond. Help us to do that in these days. I thank you that you love each of us so immensely, so wonderfully. Would you let that sink into our very being, the fiber of our being, the very cells of our existence? Let us know the love that you have for us. In Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.